Okay. Hi.
Hello.
Monroe, you have loads of good stories, don't you?
I think so.
From working in the service industry. Well, guess what? There's now a way that you can get your stories featured on the show.
Okay.
If you email in to the new mailbag we have.
Wow.
That's right. We have an At Your Service mailbag now.
What's that called?
It is called atyourservicestory@gmail.com.
Story.
At Your Service Story.
And story spelled in regular way?
Yeah, it's just the conventional way. So that atyourservicestory@gmail.com, and that's a place to send in any interesting tidbits. Any interesting...
I'm sorry, what are tidbits?
I don't know, I've just heard people say that. So any interesting...
I've heard of titbits.
Titbits, that's the one.
Tidbits.
Any interesting titbits, any stories, anything that happened a long time ago, anything that's currently happening to you now, anything that you've experienced in the service industry.
And as well as how you're feeling or any junk mail you just
want
to pass on.
I don't want that. But yeah, you might get a feature on the show because we need content.
And we want you for that content.
Yeah, we want you. Okay.
I say we. It's your thing.
This is my thing. I want you. Cool. atyourservicestory@gmail.com. Anyway. Hi, Monroe.
Hello, Jessica.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming back.
Round two.
So last time we spoke a bit about working in the bowling alleys, because we both did that.
Yeah.
Didn't speak too much about your waiter job that you had, so we can talk a bit about that.
Uh-huh.
But reflecting on the episodes I've done so far, we seem to kind of be negative about everything. It's occurred to me that we're a bunch of negative Nancys, and whilst I think that is kind of the purpose of this podcast, it's good to reflect on the good parts of working in the service industry for people that are maybe just starting out and don't want their hopes and dreams crushed by what we're saying.
Okay.
Or people that maybe need a bit more motivation
to waiter,
to do anything in the service
industry.
Anything in the service industry.
Okay.
So what I thought would be a fun thing for us to do today is if we make a list of 10 things. If you and I can come up with 10 things.
Yeah, will we check it twice?
That are positive about working in the industry.
10 things. That's going to be kind of a stretch, I must say.
Yeah. Well, I think we can do it.
Okay.
And if we can't, then we've failed.
I guess we have.
Okay. So, we'll take it in turns. So, you start as you're the guest.
Okay.
One thing that you find positive about working in the film and television. Oh my God, in the film and television industry. Freud calling. In the customer service industry.
Okay, number one for me, and it's kind of the only one that I can think of, is free food. Your meals are paid for. So if you're kind of broke, it's the perfect thing, because if you're there all day, you get two meals and you spend nothing on food when you're at home.
I agree wholeheartedly. And I hope that it's something that happens in every restaurant. I think in other customer service jobs, there are definitely perks. It may not be free stuff, but yes, working in these jobs, you do get perks.
Yeah. So if there's anyone homeless out there listening to this right now, I'd recommend just becoming a waiter.
That's really insensitive for you to say that. The homeless people will not have devices
what,
to listen
they
to this
you
on.
Can?
Well, no, they will not be listening to this podcast.
Well, let's improve our outreach.
Okay, yeah. No, I totally agree. And at the very least, you get discounts when you work places. But yeah, working in a restaurant is good if you're not doing so well financially, because yeah, you do get free food. And
wait, if you worked somewhere that they haven't given you free food, you have to pay for part of it?
No, because this is the only restaurant I've worked in.
Okay.
But I'm sure that does happen. Yeah. I mean, the correct thing to do would be to give your staff free food on shift, but I'm sure, you know, that doesn't happen anywhere else. And if we go to work when we're not on shift, which we would never do.
No.
But if we did, we would also get 50% off. 50%, 50%, which is a really good deal.
But it's kind of a monkey paw curse, that, because you work somewhere so long that you learn to hate what they offer. So they have it to be free and or have it 50% off. It's kind of like you don't want that at all. I'm kind of splitting to a negative again, so I'm going to go back
and say,
keep
it positive. Keep
food's
it positive.
Delicious.
Food, yeah, the food can be delicious, and it's a really good way to save money. I would love to know, in total, how much money I've saved working in a restaurant for the past 3-4 years. Probably easily in the thousands.
You reckon?
Easily.
Oh, nice.
yeah, when you consider the cost of how much it costs to go out and buy dinner,
yeah,
or whatever,
we buy a lot of caviar, don't we? So it's...
yeah, a lot of caviar, a lot of lobster. Okay, so free food. Now my turn. I'm gonna go ahead and say that these jobs can be very flexible.
Mm-hmm.
So there's room to live outside these jobs, and there are definitely benefits of having a 9-to-5. But I would also say these jobs are good if you want to like swap your days off with people. If you're a student, they're a good option. Maybe not so much like working in a shop, because shops have definite opening and closing hours, but in restaurants and in kind of other areas, you have different shift patterns which you can kind of work around. So I would say the flexibility is something that's really attractive about these jobs.
Yeah, and if you work in a chain in like a place like London, I mean, you'll have no problem at all getting your shifts covered for whenever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's always someone that's willing to do that.
Yeah. I agree. And that's the thing. If you have that type of lifestyle where you like to go out and be social and do things, 9 times out of 10, it's never been a problem for me to turn around and get a shift off or swap with someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, for example, when we had tickets to go see Hamilton, the 5-star West End musical.
Mm-hmm.
We
try 6-star.
Yeah. We got that off very easily.
Yeah.
And we managed to enjoy it and not have to worry about work, because these jobs, they're kind of not non-committal, but yeah, you just have that flexibility and kind of that freedom to live a life outside of it, even though it might not feel like it. So yeah, number 2, flexibility.
I'm going to say for number 3, just the people you meet, Jess, along the way.
Yeah.
Because you get people from all walks of life. They're very interesting. You put together with them and you learn about them and their different interesting jobs. And you make friends. I'm going to say it. You make friends, Jessica.
So the people that you're exposed to. So friendships. Yeah, definitely. I can easily say that I've said it before, so I'll say it again. But some of the people that I've worked with since I don't know, 17, have been the people that have molded me into the strong, independent woman I am now. And I know the same could be said for you. You are also a strong, independent woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure...
I have been molded, yeah.
And I'm sure that some of that comes from the people you've worked with, who you've met, the lessons you've learned. And yeah, I've had some really good times. And you know what? There's nothing better than having some really good work friends.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to have that commitment of being friends with them outside of work. But you can if you
want
to.
Have you ever had that where you kind of bridge over from work?
Where I meet up with work friends outside of work.
Yeah.
Voluntarily.
Long-lasting friendships.
I think I have. Well, that depends. I've definitely had situations where work is finished and we've all been like, yeah, let's go out to the pub.
That doesn't count.
That doesn't count. Okay. Yeah, I would say I have.
So you...
I would say I have, yeah.
Like independently gone, let's have a coffee or something.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that makes it all worth it, really.
Yeah, for that coffee.
Definitely. All right.
Number 4?
Number 4. Okay. Okay, I guess I'm going to say there's a sense of open progression. So you can start out in the lowest job in a part of that industry and work your way up, regardless of your skill set, regardless of your past experience. If you're doing your job and you're good at it, there will always be room for you to upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I've worked with people for many, many years who have been in the same position as me and they've wanted to progress, and they have done so easily because there's always room for another supervisor or another manager. And so I think if you come into this industry and you really like it and you decide, yeah, like one day I want to be the deputy manager or something, you can very easily do that. Not to pander and say that it's an easy job, but I'm saying if you wanted to progress, it's easier than other industries.
Yeah, it's like a clear ladder, isn't there?
Yeah, a clear ladder, and they let people climb it.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're not like, hey, don't climb that ladder.
Yeah.
They're like, go on, climb that ladder.
So I would say there is, if you really enjoy this industry and you want to progress, there's definite payoff.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to like struggle and hustle for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So number four, progression.
Okay.
Number five.
Number five. I gotta say, it is getting difficult.
I'm gonna say I had to think about that one. Yeah, this was harder a lot quicker than I thought it would be.
I'm gonna say the smells, Jessica.
What? The smells?
Is number five we're on? Number five is the smells.
The smells, okay.
I guess it's kind of like an offshoot of the food one that I did, but the smells are always good. You know, I've worked in places that don't always smell like nice food, but all the restaurants I have worked in do smell like nice food.
Okay, yeah, so if you work in a restaurant, you get good smells. And even if you don't work in a restaurant, say you work in a hairdresser's.
Well, you smell all day.
You get that sweet smell of ammonia.
What's the ammonia in?
Hair dye.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Never done it.
And if you work in a, say you work in a perfume shop, you get that sweet fragrance, or a soap shop.
You know what? Can be overpowering. If you walk by a Lush, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to work in a Lush.
Too much.
Apparently, the people in, I just heard this, I've never worked in a Lush. I don't know anyone who ever has. I did know someone that went for an interview, and they say that you have to be 110% comfortable with just touching people and interacting with people on a physical level, because part of it is, you know, when you walk into a store and they like five people immediately jump on you and say, can I help you with anything? Can I help you with anything? Yeah. And if you want to try a product, or if you want to know more about a product, they have to be comfortable with literally grabbing your hand and like rubbing the lotion on your hand or something.
So there you are, sex offenders. If you're looking for a job, contact Jess on the mailbag email.
Hook you up with the, Not to say, I'm not saying that Lush hires sex offenders. That was that was an absolute joke, wasn't it?
We'll see.
No, Mo. Lush doesn't hire sex offenders. She didn't get the job. I don't know if she turned it down or if they didn't want her. But yeah, it's that thing where you have to be super into it and you have to understand all the ingredients in every product, which is a lot because there are a lot of products and a lot of ingredients.
Yeah.
So, but it smells pretty strong in there. I wouldn't want to work in a Yankee Candle store.
Oh man, I hate Yankee Candles. Everyone's like, oh, it's delicious. It's like bubblegum vanilla. Like, that's fucking disgusting stink.
This episode is sponsored by Yankee Candles.
What awful smells. All of them. I've gone by and tried every single smell and I've hated all of them.
Can I just say, I'm not even really a fan of scented candles. I love candles, but I think scented candles are, they just, after a while, that's all you start to smell in the room. You know, I mean, I wanna just have nice candles and not have to smell like mahogany, lavender, or whatever.
Mm.
I want the commitment of nice light without having the commitment of the smell. So some stores smell better than others.
Yankee Candle being a one on the scale of 1 to 10 in terms of smell.
Yeah, but generally restaurants, good smells.
Generally, yeah.
So we're going to say number five is half the places you work might smell good.
That's right. Worst to live by.
Yeah. Number six, me. Okay.
It's a tricky one, isn't it?
It's a tricky one. I'm just going to go ahead and say some places you get really good money.
As in like tips?
As in like, not even just tips, but like you get them dollar bills. In some shops and some, you know, if you work in a spa probably or whatever, you probably get paid quite a lot per hour. So it's just reliable, steady, good money. Yeah. Any job in the customer service industry, you know, it's a decent paycheck.
Yeah, like I've heard people say, like, if you need money and you need it quick, being a waiter is kind of the best thing to do because you can just get tips and get out of there.
Yeah, and to go back to my previous point of progression and accessibility, these jobs are not that hard to get. So if you are in a pickle and you need some money, if you're in a jam,
If you're in a jam jar.
If you're in a jam jar and you're a pickle, the customer service industry is a really good one to get into for some fast, reliable money. I mean, we get paid per week. I would say for me, that's definitely a personal positive thing. Getting paid every Friday.
Yeah, let's make that wonderful. Let's make that number. What were you on?
Number seven. Okay, number seven.
Paid weekly. At least in my experience.
A lot of places pay weekly.
Yeah.
And that's, at first I didn't think I would like that.
Why?
I didn't think I'd be able to control myself. Oh, you know?
Okay.
I thought I would get paid on a Friday and then lose all my money by a Tuesday. Because that's the weekend.
Because you're
a
gambler.
But also because that's the weekend. Like, you get paid on a Friday night or Friday morning and you think, yeah, this is my weekend sorted. And then you have to go the whole rest of the week. But I'm actually very controlled with it.
Yeah.
And so I love that money every week.
I love seeing it stack up.
Yeah. Okay, number eight.
Number eight is, I've taken So it's on to you right now, right?
So that was number seven. Number eight is me again. Okay. Okay. Well, for me personally, and I'm sure this is the same with a lot of people, working non-conventional hours, for some it's a negative, for some it's a positive.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, as someone that lives in London and I have to get the tube or the bus to work, avoiding those peak hours is integral to my mental health, I have to say.
Yeah. I've only recently been exposed to what that's like, dealing with the rush hours, having done some other work. It's like, Jesus Christ, this is hard to deal with.
Having to pack on like sardines at 8:30 in the morning or whatever.
Oh, that's awful.
You know, I am so glad to not have to be part of that. And even going back home at the end of the day, I mean, we finish late, but at least when we get home, we don't have to cram on the tube with loads of other people.
Yeah.
We get to avoid, like, literally, we get to avoid so much rush hour.
It may be late and it may be tired, but you can sit down.
Yeah. So, for example, in our restaurant, the earliest I've ever had to be in is 10. So I missed the morning rush hour. The most close to rush hour that I finish is 4 or 5. So I can easily just about beat the rush.
Yeah,
because most people finish at 5 or 6.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say missing those peak travel times is a really, really good benefit, because it means that I don't have to start my day out on a bad note and I don't have to end my day on a bad note.
Yeah.
In terms of travel. Okay, number nine. I'm nearly there.
Number nine. Okay. I'm going to say camaraderie.
Is that not the same as friendship?
It's very similar, I must say, in the same Venn diagram for sure. But I'm going to say camaraderie because I'm running out of steam on these.
No, that's too close. Sorry. Too close. That's too close.
Well, I was going to say, just like, because there's some aspects, as you know, are a bit shit.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you have people to deal with that with, it's nice that you're on that, on board that same sort of ship.
Yeah, sorry, that's friendship.
Ah, it is a friendship. Okay, fine.
Camaraderie is definitely another word for friendship.
So we've got smells down.
I know what my last one's going to be. I know what number 10 is going to be. I've just thought of them.
Okay.
Not to put pressure on you.
I could say that, you know what, you're always in a warm place.
True. You are always inside.
Yeah. They keep at an optimal temperature because that's most comfortable for customers. And so you are reaping the benefits of that as well.
You are always comfortable on a temperature scale.
That's right. I've never gone, oh God, it's cold in here.
Yeah, there's nothing better than looking out the window and seeing it pissing with rain outside and you knowing that you're just inside for the evening.
Yeah.
It goes the opposite in the summer, though,
mm.
when you have to spend all your time inside.
That's
a glass half full kind of situation. So yeah. Let's call it a positive thing.
Yeah.
In the winter. Okay, number 10.
Go on.
A big one for me, which I've just thought about. I don't know why it wasn't number one. Mm-hmm. But you gain more physical endurance.
I thought you were going to say weight. Okay, yeah.
No, because if you are on your feet all day, and I mentioned this in the last episode with Lizzie, but being on your feet all day, it really, really hurts. And I think everyone knows what I mean when it's like you get back home and your feet are really sore from just standing and walking around on your feet all day.
Yeah.
But the upside of that is that I would say I'm in pretty good physical condition because I am constantly moving around. I'm constantly carrying plates or going up and down the stairs to bring up more stuff or take downstairs stuff. And I'm always kind of, you know, just slightly on the move, slightly on the go. And I would say, even though, and it's the same for working in a shop or anything, you're not sitting down, you're not static all day. So I would say the upside of that is you do, after a while, your feet do start to hurt less and you get used to it.
Yeah.
Standing up for 13 hours or whatever.
That's a good one, actually. Yeah, at least you're not standing still, because some jobs where you are behind a desk, it can get very, very monotonous and boring.
Yeah.
Because you're always moving, always on your feet. Yeah, it stays kind of exciting, I guess.
And then it's okay for you to come home in the evening or have your day off and just lie in bed all day or sit on the sofa all day. That's okay because you've spent all your shift not sitting down.
You get your 10,000 steps, don't you?
Easily, yeah. I have a step counter and sometimes I break like 16,000.
Nice.
So there we go. I think one time my record is like 22,000.
What day was that?
I don't know. I don't even remember, but I just remember seeing that number and thinking, wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, so you do, it's exhausting and it's tiring, but you do get more physically empowered. And that's number 10.
Number 10.
So that's the 10 commandments for working in customer service. Can we recap?
Yeah.
Number one. What was number one?
Number one was family. No. Number one was your one, right?
Number one was flexibility?
No. Was it me, number one?
It was you because you were the guest and you said friendship. Okay,
that was
so,
number one?
Yeah.
All right then, number one, friendship.
No, it was free food. Okay.
Free food, yeah,
so,
of course.
So number one is thou shall...
eat for free.
Eat for free. Okay, number two was me and I said flexibility. So thou shall take days off when needed.
Yes. Number three was friendship. So thou shall have friends. Thou shall have thy neighbors.
Love thy neighbor. Yeah. And number four was money?
Yeah.
No, climbing the ladder. So number climbing four is thou shall climb the ladder of success.
Number five was thou shall smell nice smells.
Yeah. Number six was thou shall make bank.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number seven, that was the one that you were just like, yep, that's number seven.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So we're on eight, and that was back to you.
No, but what was number seven?
Oh, yeah.
This is so bad that we can't remember what we said 5 minutes ago.
Number seven is the mystery box. If you go back, you can find out.
Yeah.
And number eight is...
I honestly cannot remember what number seven was. Was it me or you? It was you.
It was me realizing something while you were saying something.
You get to be inside? No, that wasn't it. That was number nine.
No, man, it's bad that we can't even...
That's really terrible. Tell you what, I'll go back and that'll be the name of the episode. Number seven.
This entire bit, just have you go number seven.
Just say it over, yeah. Okay, so number eight was...
That was you.
Oh.
Oh.
What was number eight?
Well, it's a test.
I know what
to...
9 and 10 was. Number eight. Everyone who's listening to this, like, literally knows what we just said.
Yeah, so let's just say, you know what we said. If you don't
number
know what we
eight
said,
is
you
your
can
own,
go...
You can make it up on your own.
You can press that 15
number
seconds
back
button.
Number nine, thou shall stay warm.
Mm-hmm.
And number 10 was, thou shall stay healthy.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. With the steps.
Okay, congratulations, mate. Thanks.
Congratulations,
so everyone that's, you know, in need of some motivation or is looking for the positive things in the industry, there
just
you go.
Just speak to us randomly grasping it.
That's, we could, you know, we really just tried to polish a turd there with all the,
yeah,
all the negative things going on.
Sorry.
Okay, so last time you were here, we went through your CV.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't need to do that again.
Okay.
But a new thing I've introduced since I spoke to you was telling us who you are outside of your job in order to humanize you.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. You get what I mean? So people that treat servers and whoever rudely or offhandedly sometimes just forget that they are people who have personalities, have hobbies, have likes, have dislikes. So I just want you to sum up who you are outside of customer service and what you like, what you do, what are your dreams.
Wow, okay. So my name's Monroe.
You have to speak louder.
Okay. My name is Monroe. I'm looking to get into the film television industry. That's what I'm passionate about. That's what I strive for. Left-handed. I have facial hair. What do people say usually? What do you want?
So, what are your hobbies? What do you do in your spare time?
I do improv classes now.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Which is a lot of fun. What else do I do, Jess?
You like to cook?
I like to cook, yeah.
You go to the gym?
Go to the gym.
You write?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You're a writer?
Absolutely.
That's what you are.
Okay.
So you need to say you're a writer.
I just didn't want to put a label on it. But all right, okay, there it
I
is.
I don't want to put a label on my passion.
Mm.
Okay.
I'm an animal lover. I'll say that much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where do you...
I think animals trust me. More so than they trust you.
Okay.
I feel like every time we go by a cat, they kind of instinctively come towards me.
I believe that animals can sense human aura.
Yes.
And I think you have a very, very, very mellow aura. You do not cause stress. I've never seen you initiate someone else's stress.
Mm.
Whereas I don't feel stressed all the time, but I definitely feel like there's always that little fizzle, that leftover fizzle in my aura of whatever's on the back of my mind. And you're right, I think animals can sense that.
Yeah.
And where do you hope to be in 3 years?
In 3 years, I would love to be on a writing staff.
Yeah?
Yeah.
For a show?
Yeah.
For a comedy show?
Absolutely. And I'd love to be able to write something for the Fringe Festival, which is something I'm working on now. So 3 years, I guess that's an ample amount of time to get that done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you also do your own podcast?
I do, yeah, of course. Absolutely. Beats and Blends, shout out. Me, Jay and Jason. It's a coffee review and music show, essentially.
Do you speak this quietly on that one as well?
I don't think I am speaking that quietly. You can boost up in post. Thanks. So that I'm yelling.
This is the one episode that I didn't want to have to listen back on and do loads of editing. Because for the past few, I've had to listen back to the whole thing and bleep out whenever. Because I didn't think to write down as we were filming at what point we said the names of places.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed that we haven't done it thus far.
We haven't got onto it, have we? Yeah.
Yeah, but let's not.
We've mentioned Lush.
Let's not. Yeah, that's fine.
And sex offenders, yeah.
Okay, let's not. Okay, so let's talk about what we didn't talk about last time you were here.
Okay.
And tell me a bit about your job as a waiter.
Oh, back when I was a waiter.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not a waiter now. And the main reason, I can be a waiter, obviously, and you can get more money for it, but the main reason being that when I was about 17, I was not a good waiter, I don't think. And it caused me a lot of stress. Yeah, customer interaction... I guess it wasn't my strong suit. So the one thing I tell people is that I used to work in this sort of coffee house, tea room, lunchy type place. And I was bringing a hot pot of tea over to these two old ladies, and setting down the cups, I managed to pour the scalding hot water down one of these ladies' sides. And she jumped up in her chair and screamed. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so, so sorry. And she's like, no, it's all right. It was just hot. So I just ran to get her like some ice cubes and just shoved them down her back. And she seemed actually all right after that. But I did scold a lady.
Yeah. Would you rather, I've already asked you this, but would you rather spill a whole tray of drinks down someone or a whole tray of food down someone? And give me your reasoning why.
Well, it's interesting because it depends what the food is. If it's like a dry fried thing, I guess it's fine. But if it's the sauce is much worse than liquid because that's getting on everything, right?
Yeah.
If something can like roll off like a fry, that's all right. I'd go for a, if it's a plate of fries, fine, chuck it on the head. But if it's, drinks, it's difficult. Probably drinks.
I would say, drinks as well. Also, because the consequence of dropping food on someone is that you then have to get the chefs to make the food again.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas
a
drink takes like 2 minutes to get a new drink.
Yeah.
So how long were you a waiter for?
Maybe at least 4 months.
At least 4 months?
Yeah.
Okay. And why are you hesitant to... Because your situation now is you work behind the bar... You've been asked multiple times if you want to become a waiter.
Yeah.
Each time you've given a very non-committal answer. And I think deep down, you probably do want the money, but you don't want
Who
the
doesn't?
Stress.
Yeah, well, I people come back to the bar when they want to vent. So all I get is people go, oh my God, this job's fucking shit. I hate it. I'm so fucking stressed out. I'm like, okay. Well, I'm fine behind here. I got to mop up this little spillage that I made.
It's safe.
It's a safe zone for sure.
Yeah. But so part of me thinks you'll be fine.
Yeah, it probably would be fine, yeah.
Because you're not as high strung as, say, me.
Mm-hmm.
Where, so if something irks me, then I really... It really, you know, rattles my bones if someone stresses me out. So I'm... I vent not because it has been so bad to the point where it's broken me, but because any mild inconvenience is worth requiring a vent.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Whereas I think with you, because you're so in control of your emotions and you're so mellow, you know, it would piss you off, but you wouldn't, you know, you're not really a complainer. Whereas I am a complainer.
And I don't know, but I'm also a people pleaser. And so the issue I had when I was being a waiter was when someone didn't like me, for no reason other than they were just a dickhead customer, it would kind of be on my mind for like half an hour at least.
Right.
And I sort of have to, I would often like come in like overly cheery to a table and be like, hey guys, how's it going? And people, you can kind of smell that on people when they're trying to do that. I'd much rather just be like, hey, what's going on? Here's a menu.
You can do that.
Yeah.
I do that.
Suppose I can.
Yeah. I can't fake it. So I'd take that approach of, hey, how's it going? Here's a menu. If they want to talk to me and I get that vibe, then I will absolutely talk to them and give them the energy back. I'm an energy reflector.
Okay, yeah.
So I will give back to people what they give to me. And
you're holding that mirror up to society.
Yeah, and if they don't want to talk, that's fine. I don't want to talk to you either. Mm-hmm. And if you do want to talk, that's fine. I'll give you, you know, I'll give you something to talk about. So it's, you can, I think a lot of people think that waiters have to be that kind of jumpy, SpongeBob SquarePants-y kind of personality.
Mm-hmm.
When you really don't, you just have to be a really good observer of people and what you think they want from you, and you can adapt. Right. It's less about being energetic and bubbly and more about being adaptable. Because you're right, people can smell it when it's fake. And also, some people don't want to talk to their waiter. Some people just want to eat their food, pay and go. And that's absolutely fine. And you have to be able to understand when that's a requirement and meet that. And then you'll get tips either way, and you'll give good service either way.
Mm-hmm.
If you can adjust that, you'll do... I think it is good to be a person who's really high energy and really smiley, but if you can't turn it off, then you're also at risk of making people just as unhappy as if you were not energetic at all.
Yeah.
Especially in today's society when it's so, you know, people want privacy and they want peace and quiet.
Yeah.
When they eat, you know? I think you'd do really well.
Well, maybe I'll give it a go. Maybe we'll do another episode together where...
Listen, right after I think I've you should give that. It a go, because then you can just jump straight back onto the bar if you don't like it.
Yeah, I guess so.
But you might do it and you might think, whoa, I've made however much in tips today, and I actually found that the day went a lot quicker because I'm talking to more people or doing whatever, and you might really enjoy it. But when you were a waiter in this old job, was there ever a time that you really enjoyed that? Keeping on the positive kind of spin of today's episode.
I'm really trying to think.
There must have been a time where you're like, oh, this is really cool, this is worth it.
Well, I think the main positive, right, for most waiters is the tips. I mean, it's worth all the stress for the tips, right? So we would have a pot right by the cashier. And we'd maybe get, like, on a good day, £1 each.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty weak.
It is pretty weak, yeah.
Yeah.
So that didn't really make up for the stress. So no.
Not one thing you enjoyed.
I mean, what's to... I mean, it's nice when like you have a conversation with someone that you get along with.
Yep.
A nice customer. You just have a chat with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that.
I'm trying to think currently, in my past few days, if I've had anything positive happen to me.
Why the positive spin on this one?
Because I feel like I need it.
Just for your soul?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like the past few days have just been a bit long and a bit you know. But there have also been moments where I thought, you know what, I'm gonna really get. So for example, I worked on Friday and yesterday, which was a Saturday, both of which are quite busy days, and I went into both days thinking, you know what, I've got a bit of energy today, I'm gonna actually really try with every customer, and I'm gonna really be nice to people, try and make a difference. I'm sure if you ask a lot of waiters and a lot of people who interact with customers on a day-to-day basis, they do have those days where they actually really do want to, you know, go all out, because you almost need it for yourself just as much. And often I find that by 2 or 3 o'clock that mood is completely gone.
Right.
But for both days they kind of were pretty consistent, and I felt good at the end of those 2 days, and they were both quite long and quite draggy. But there was something about it at the end of the day where I had a satisfaction, I'd earned a lot of tips, and I just thought, you know, sometimes it is worth it, just, you know, trying to push out that extra 10%. But then, you know, just in the bigger picture, I do feel like I need a bit more positivity as to not just completely mope around. Because the past few episodes, I've said it so many times, I've explained my situation, and I've just not been generally very energetic about it. So
yeah, I think it's more fun when you're on the outside of these types of jobs, right? When you're inside of it, it's kind of like, oh yeah, I guess it is shit.
Yeah.
But that's the fun part.
This is the thing, yeah. When you're not in it anymore and you can make fun of it, that's when you're like, oh, haha, that's so funny. But it's, yeah, so I feel like today was just a good opportunity to try and find some good things about it. Not just for myself, but for everyone else who already knows that it's shit and doesn't need to be told it's shit anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is everyone that works it and knows that it's bad.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, like, I want to know if you feel the same guilt that I feel, the same underlying guilt about feeling shit about these jobs.
Why do you feel guilty?
So, because nothing we do makes a lick of difference in anything. So, by me complaining about it, I can't help but feel like I'm almost just being a little baby. A little whiny baby.
It's odd because I'm sensing a lot of turmoil on your side of the room. I don't really have any of this, to be honest. And that's, I assume, purely because we do different jobs.
Oh, okay. Maybe you're right. Maybe just stay on the
Maybe
bar.
Maybe you should come to the bar. Maybe. How about that?
You're looking at me and like, God, I don't want to be this person.
Yeah. All I get is everyone like, oh my God, my life is so fucking shit. I mean, yeah, like, my job's not great, but you know.
And you know what? This
go into it. Done.
Another thing to be positive about. Like, we have jobs. Everyone that works in customer service, you know, we have jobs. We get money. We get to interact with people and leave the house on a daily basis. Some people don't have jobs. Some people don't have the ability to stand for 13 hours a day.
Yeah.
So let's be thankful as to what we can do in our lives. And at least we have a platform to be better and do better and get jobs that we like. Some people have no opportunity at all. And also some people's jobs are genuinely soul crushing, not because it's like, people were rude to me today, but because the stuff they're doing is actually, you know, think of firemen.
Yeah.
Think of what they have to see and what they have to do. Their jobs are actually shit, but, you know, I'm sure they
You should
don't...
get them on because they're in the service industry.
I don't think they are.
The emergency service industry.
Oh, possibly. But I think, you know what I'd love to do? I'd love to speak to someone who works as a 911... 911? Yeah. Where are we?
That too.
999 operator.
Yeah. Why don't you just call them up now and just get them on the phone?
I've actually, my whole life, I've always gone back to that and thought that would be a really amazing job. As someone who's very interested in that kind of aspect of life.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's a job that you can come home from at the end of the day and be really sad about.
Yeah.
Because the rewards, I'm sure, are very fucking high, but the lows are tremendously low.
I mean, the rewards aren't that great. The reward is...
No, the reward is you save someone's life.
The reward is that someone doesn't die.
But they don't know who you are and they never really thank you for it.
Yeah.
It's a thankless job.
I mean, the reward is what everyone would hope would happen, which is no one dies.
Yeah.
And what's more likely is that something terrible happens. So it's a pretty hard job to do.
That's true. But this is the thing, like the low of my day is, oh, someone didn't say thank you to me. And yeah, that can... Mm. And look, happiness is relative, blah, blah, blah. But I think that's hard for people like us because we get that every day, every hour, consistently, and that can really tear you down gradually. But I can't even imagine what it's like to be a doctor or a fireman or a 999 operator or someone who the low of your day is literally you might hear someone dying or you might literally see someone's dead body. This is the thing, and
I'm sure you have to adjust.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's when you can come home and lose sleep over your job.
Yeah.
Whereas for us, we know nothing about
true loss. I lost something that day when I poured hot water on a lady, but it wasn't that much.
Lost your dignity.
Yeah,
she got over it, you got over it, you know. But there are other jobs out there that I think should be commended for relentlessly putting up with shit. Have you read that book, This Is Going to Hurt, the book about the junior doctor diaries?
No.
So, yeah, I've told you about it before, but for everyone else listening, there's this book called This Is Going to Hurt, and it was written by a guy who was a junior doctor, and it's basically his all his notes and his, I think, diary entries and stuff compiled from when he was a junior doctor, and it's really funny, really sad, and the whole book is basically just little tidbits. I use that word correctly. Tidbits.
I think it is titbits.
Tidbits.
T-I-T bits. Maybe it's not.
From his days as a junior doctor. And the shit that he had to go through was absolutely, you know, makes what I go through look like stubbing my toe, which it is. It definitely is. And yeah. it's a really good book to read if you're going through maybe some sort of mental tug of war about your customer service job.
Yeah, to get some perspective.
To get some fucking perspective, and I think we all need that. I definitely need it. I mean, fucking hell, I run a podcast about how shit it is to work in customer service. So, but you know, this is for people who work in customer service. This isn't for people who do those kind of jobs, but we all should just remember if we've had a really shit week or a shit day that there are other people who are going through so much more in their
absolutely
job.
And off branch of that is tidbits. You're right, actually, Jess. It is T-I-D-B-I-T.
Did you just look it up?
Yes.
T-I-D.
I thought it was titbits.
So it's tidbits.
Tidbits, you're right.
I was going to say, I don't think it was tidbits.
And it's defined as a tasty morsel of food or a quarter of a bite.
So nothing to do with conversation.
And then a bracket says half of a nibble. So...
half of a nibble.
Or a short mention of news or gossip. So
okay, so yeah.
Yeah.
Tidbits. Okay. But yeah, anyway, my point being is let's all just like fucking get over it. We can have a bad day, we can complain about it, but as long as we don't think that we're carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders, it's okay.
Yeah.
And if anyone knows someone who is a 999 operator that would like to come on the show and talk about what they do.
That'd be amazing. Yeah.
That's technically customer service. It's not really.
No, it is. Emergency service.
But
it's a service industry.
You're talking on a phone to people who need a service.
You're providing a service, absolutely.
And I would love to meet someone who does that.
Yeah.
So let's make it happen. Now we're going to move on to a segment that we do every week, the reviews section. And
do you every week?
Yes.
Wow.
This podcast comes out every week, every Tuesday. And so the purpose of this segment is to look up funny reviews or interesting reviews that we think are false, true, whatever. Just reviews that cause a conversation. And this week, Mo has looked up a couple of his own reviews, which is very helpful. So I'll let you go first, Mo.
All right. So I found quite a few from Tate Modern.
Tate Modern, a very famous landmark in London.
Absolutely. We've been there fade recently, right?
Right.
Yeah. So... I've got a few here. This one says, can you hear me correctly if I just look at my laptop like this?
No, speak into the microphone, please.
It's not possible unless I do this.
Yes, do that.
Right. Can you hear me this? This?
Yeah, if you speak, yeah? Yeah, if you speak clearly.
Oh, man, okay. Okay. What a load of shit! I know modern art can be subjective, but this gallery was full of art, in quotation marks, that would be easily mistaken for GCSE level artwork, somewhere at the grade C to F. Some of it was so obscure, it just didn't make any sense. I love art, but a blank canvas on a wall telling you to imagine it's art as it is, it's all out minds is not art, doesn't make much sense here, no matter how batshit crazy you are. I did, however, make my own. See pic.
Is so there a picture?
I didn't screenshot the picture, but you obviously do a little picture and then there's blue text up on the wall.
Oh, you should have screenshotted the picture. I'd love to see it. You know what, though? Maybe this is an unpopular opinion. From the sounds of that, somewhere in the Tate Modern, at once upon a time, there was just a canvas on the wall, a blank canvas. And the concept of the canvas was to imagine your own art.
There's an artist that does that, just that.
Okay.
So he had a gallery full of blank canvases.
I'm going to say that I agree with this person.
You agree with this man? You agree with...
I agree that...
Review Man 2013.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Review Man 2013 because I do like art. I'm not an art aficionado. I don't know many artists. I don't know... I mean, I like going to art museums and stuff. But yeah, if I walked into a room and there was just a blank canvas on the wall, I wouldn't really know what to take from that. Like, I get that it's probably something, you know, to like imagine a piece of art on the wall, but I'd much rather look at a piece of art.
Yeah.
And okay. I think sometimes I do have an appreciation for like graphic design and for paintings and stuff like that. And I have seen some that I've really loved, but then I don't know. I do agree. Who's the guy that, is it Mark Rothko? The guy that does just the big blocks of color.
Yeah, Rothko, I think so. Yeah.
For me, that's the most you can push doing very little, if that makes sense.
I understand the blank canvas thing is like a one-off statement, but to have a career just based on that's a little bit scandalous, right?
Yeah.
A bit of a snake oil salesman then.
It is just a bit kind of, not pretentious. Pretentious is a word that gets thrown around too much in the art world, but it's a bit lazy.
Yeah.
Well, I'd be pissed.
A one-star review from Review Man.
Yeah.
This one, another one-star. And
for the Tate Modern.
The caption is, "Go to show anyone can do art!" Exclamation mark. "I took my son to the wrong gallery. He loves art. But this, as he, his little brother, and us adults said, is a pile of rubbish. He loves paintings, sculptures, and drawing. But as he said, it looks like a child or a builder has done it. It's shit!"
The kid said that?
I guess so, yeah.
Okay.
You work in your parenting skills, lady. "What a waste of an hour. Never again."
So they took their
kids... So that's scathing.
They took their kids to the Tate Modern and didn't like it at all.
Didn't like it. I mean, it is free.
Look, it's free and kids may not get it. Do you know what I mean? I think kids think of pictures and art as something which you can see. A lot of the Tate Modern is... I think people forget it can be very surrealist and it can be very... non-clear.
I mean, yeah, it's not all for everyone, but...
No, go to the National Gallery, then.
That is for everyone, is it?
It's more accessible because it's actually pictures of things.
Yeah.
Rather than obscuro...
When you go, do you really want to see a picture of a thing as opposed to a picture of nothing?
I don't know. I don't really have a preference, to be honest. I do like kind of... I don't know how to...
I think it's all about how it makes you feel, right?
I don't know how to describe my art taste. There are certain colours that I'm more drawn to. And
like,
certain...
What's your favourite colour?
I love a good forest green and maybe like a gold combination, kind of royal blues.
Green and gold.
Yeah.
Classic. Christmassy.
Yeah.
All right.
What about you? What type of art are you attracted to?
I like anything that I think is aesthetically pleasing.
Yes, I agree.
Like some of them, I don't know, for me it seems like the framing of what it is quite important. If it's pleasing to the eye, then I kind of like that. I like a lot of things that have like a lot of orange in them, like sort of warm yellows and oranges and blues and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, I just like that.
I don't like pictures that are very, very dark. Not in terms of subject, but just literally they're dark.
Yeah, just black.
Yeah. Okay, next one.
So there's another one is a... Another one star, and this man says, "Mundane. A retrospective of Bernard's work stretching over 50 years. It looks dull and amateurish. To me, full stop. Nothing novel nor meaningful was shown, full stop. Only ongoing repeats of the same boorish and voyeur scenes using dull colours and sloppy brushstrokes."
Wow.
So that man sounds like a lot of fun at a party.
You have to be some type of person to say something about like sloppy brushwork for a piece of art that's in the Tate Modern, because I would you would definitely walk into somewhere and you're allowed to not like stuff. Absolutely. Art is not for everyone. But I would never walk in and just be like, yeah, this is shit. Because yeah. It's clearly not if it's made its way into one of the most famous art museums in the world.
Well, I'd argue it is fine to say something shit if you don't like it. But obviously it's not right to say it's entirely shit because I don't like it.
But I would just be interested to know if this man doing the review has any experience in doing art and therefore feels qualified to say something about the sloppy brush strokes.
His picture, his profile picture is a silhouette.
A picture of him with Van Gogh.
Well, close. It's a silhouette of him leaning on his cane. So he's a very particular type of man. Obviously, he's kind of
guy. So he might be an artist.
He might be an artist.
Okay.
More likely, he's a guy that crosses his legs when he sits down the toilet. Or, you know, has a lot of moustache wax.
Right. I see. Okay. Have you got another one?
Yeah, I've got two more, actually.
Shoot, you've done a lot of work. Okay.
Well, I'll do this one. It's for a hotel.
Okay, let's mix it up.
And the caption is haunted.
Oh, I like that.
There's like not ghosts. Much punctuation here, so I'm going to try my best.
Okay. Just read it slowly.
This is one
slowly.
Star. Okay. Stay out of it. It's haunted. Stay out of it, it's haunted. I saw the ghost in my room. Over my four-year-old boy, I screamed and ran out the room, and we collected our thing, just one thing. We collected our thing and checked out in the middle of the night, and the rude man in the front desk wanted to charge us for the day while we only stayed
hours. Slow down. Start from the beginning.
I'm just trying to emulate how this person's feeling as they wrote it.
Please start from the beginning.
Stay out of it, it's haunted. There's no punctuation, by the way. I saw the ghost in my room over my four-year-old boy. I screamed and I ran out of my room. We collected our thing and checked out in the middle of the night. The rude man in the front desk wanted to charge us for the day while we only stayed for 6 hours. I mean, 6 hours is kind of a long time.
6 hours is technically a day in a hotel world, yeah.
After checking out, my sister told me she heard water flushing in the toilet. Ooh.
Spooky.
And my nanny saw the TV channel switching by itself.
My nanny. Yes. Does she mean like Nana?
Is her nanny? Oh, what is this lady? by itself while my kids were watching Tom and Jerry. But they didn't think that it really haunted our room. Hash symbol was 303. So
hashtag
stay out of room 303. In wherever this
is. Wow. I love that.
I mean, you believe in ghosts, right?
Yeah.
Would you be scared by...
I'd never stay there.
A toilet flushing.
I'd never stay there. Mo, if I ever went to a hotel with the intention of staying there, and I read a review saying this is haunted, I would not stay there.
So, off of this person's
recommendation, you would not stay in this hotel. No.
I mean, she's broken down the things that scared her.
Yes, so, first of all, waking up and seeing a ghost over your four-year-old boy, that's horrifying. And what's even more horrifying is that the staff obviously has some sort of issue with her. But no, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say I believe her.
You believe her?
I totally believe her.
Oh, my goodness. And even though she's used as backing up evidence, flushing the toilet and the TV channels changing.
The only thing I don't believe is that she ran out screaming because...
When you're that scared, you can't scream.
No,
nothing comes
out. Because in all seriousness, if that happened to me, well, first of all, there's no mention of her grabbing her child and running out of the room. She just says, I screamed and ran out.
That's a good point.
Leaving
maybe
the child
perished.
With the ghost.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know if I would scream if I saw a ghost. I'd probably be more quiet with fear.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if I walked out of this room right now and walked into the living room and there was a ghost person there, I don't know if I would scream. I would very, very quickly leave the room whilst keeping my eye on it at all times.
Right. Interesting method.
I wouldn't scream, especially in a public place, because we've all seen it in films and television where one person runs out screaming and no one ever believes them and they just look like a mad person.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Would you have the foresight just to flip out your phone and grab a little pic?
No,
or
never.
Even a video?
No, never.
Never.
You can't aggravate a spirit because you don't know if it's bad or good.
Oh, boy. Okay, we'll stay away from this.
This is a conversation for my other podcast, Ghost with the Most.
At your haunted.
Okay, thanks for that. That was a really good one. I've only got the one.
All right. The one review. And you're the host. Okay.
Well, I knew you were going to be getting a lot, but I just didn't realize that many.
That's fine.
Okay. So we went to go see Detective Pikachu last night.
Yeah.
At our, I thought it was our shit. Local cinema.
Yeah. You hear the venom in my voice. I thought it was shit.
I'm going to say like 2.5 out of 5 stars. Okay. So this person, this is for the theatre, the cinema that we went to go see.
Oh, okay.
One star. And the person says, I walked in and a staff, not a member of staff, just a staff.
A staff, yeah.
Asked me if he wanted to date me. Then, as I went to get my tickets, it wasn't working properly. After that, the staff charged me an extra £3 for a straw. When I gave them my ticket, they threw it back at me and said, leave now. I don't recommend this place whatsoever, and they should definitely get fired. This does my flipping head in. So it's a short one, but there's a lot to break down.
Absolutely. The fact that she says, it does my flipping head in, implies that it's a regular occurrence for this woman.
Yeah. So the first line, I walked in and a staff asked me if he wanted to date me.
Yeah.
This is why I do the segment where I ask people to tell me more about themselves outside of work. Because if anyone ever referred to me as a staff, I would be really angry. Like an ant. Or a bug. A staff. Asked me if he wanted to date me. That's not true.
That's not true, I think.
I don't believe this woman. I believe the ghost woman more. And then I went to get my tickets. It wasn't working properly. After that, the staff charged me £3 for a straw. That doesn't happen.
There's no world where that would happen.
There's no absolute universe in which you would be buying a drink and ask for a straw and they would say that's £3 extra. Is she sure she's not just paying for the drink?
Yeah. And then they handed her the straw and then said the price. Yeah. And she just got confused.
Because also, you wouldn't buy it. You would just say, oh, no, thank you. I don't want a straw.
Yeah.
So, I don't believe that for a second. I gave them my tickets and they threw them back at me and said, leave now. That can't be true either, because what's happened? She's obviously done something if they said leave now.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
And why in any God-given earth would someone be about to go into the theatre and then a cinema staff member says leave now? And notice how she doesn't give a reason.
Yeah, I'm assuming she's the reason.
I'm assuming she's the reason, and she just wants to make it seem like they randomly told her to get out.
Wait, just read that last bit back again.
I gave them my tickets, and they threw them back at me and said, leave now.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. I don't buy this.
Leave now.
Yeah. So that's my review. I'm sorry. I don't buy that at all. I think this is a trick to telling when reviews are fake, is that there's very little detail. And also, there's never a reflection on yourself in the situation. At no point does she say that, for example, she doesn't say, like, I went to go buy a drink and then they charged me £3. She just says, and they tried to charge me £3 for a straw.
Mm.
There's no context for the complaint.
No.
And it's all too random and too OTT.
Either she's very lonely and made it all up, or she, I don't know, disrupted something.
Yeah, and
she has to go.
This is the thing. This is a chain cinema. And so they wouldn't be able to get away with charging £3 for a straw.
No.
Because otherwise everyone would know about it.
It'd be a scandal.
It would be a scandal, definitely. Okay, on that note, thanks for coming back again for this slightly fillerish episode. Like the whole last season of Game of Thrones.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm joking.
Shots fired.
I'm not joking. I don't know. Shots fired indeed. All right, well, thank you very much for coming back. We'll see you in the future, Nir.
Whenever you need some more filling.
Whenever I need another filler.
Yeah.
You're my man. Okay. Is there anything else you want to say? Any? Let's leave it on a positive note. What are we going to say to end this on a positive note?
Let's say it together. Let's try and say the same sentence together.
Okay.
You ready?
1, 2, 3. Look out
for
each other.
Other.
Okay, look out for each other. All right, goodbye.